Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 19th of December, recording at 9:50 p.m. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. Asian stock markets were mostly weaker, notably South Korea on the death of Kim Jong-il. The ASEAN stock markets mostly were exceptions, closing a little firmer. And the China A shares closed down, but way off their lows. Okay. Elsewhere, European stock markets were mixed, but a few more to the downside, but very small percentage gains overall. And in the Americas, though we had a weaker tone overall, Wall Street sold off towards the latter part of the day, the Dow closing down 100 points. The S&P 500 is at 1205. And against that background, the long-dated government bond prices were mostly firmer. Certainly the long bond was an exception. Gilts futures and Bund futures were a little bit easier here today. The US dollar was somewhat steadier overall. Now the euro is back on the 130 level. The Australian dollar is back under the 0.99 level just. And sterling is right on the 155 level. Now precious metals seesawed a little bit in here today, but then closed weaker. I see particularly palladium down to 609. Gold's currently down $5.30 as I speak. That's at 1593.65. It had been choppy. I think choppy during most of the day. Now, industrial metals were all a little bit lower here today. The crude oil prices are just slightly higher, to 30 cents to half a dollar. The grain and bean complex rallied somewhat on hot, dry weather in the South American countries, which is stressing the crops. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, there's still one heck of a lot of nervousness regarding the euro situation, to put it mildly. In a way, can effectively be described as a bit of a conundrum, or in terms of a solution, a lasting solution. It's a bit like the old joke, you can't get there from here, because the ECB is hanging tough in terms of what it wants to do. The situation is clear, where we see plenty of austerity measures, and those are certainly necessary. But the "you can't get there from here" situation concerns growth, because as Owen has mentioned almost daily in his writings, that historically countries that are in this kind of trouble would tend to devalue their currencies and often default on some of their debt. Well, we've seen Greece default, and the markets are concerned that more countries are actually going to have to default, because where's growth actually going to come from? And people are openly questioning, or speculating, or predicting even, that the whole Eurozone is going to break up. Now, a breakup of the Eurozone, a substantial breakup of the Eurozone, was very, very much a worst case scenario in our view, and it was not what we actually expected. We thought it would not be surprising if some of the periphery countries eventually exited the euro, starting with Greece and Portugal. But I have to say that the risk of the eurozone actually breaking up is uncomfortably high. When I'm in a good mood, I see it as less than 50%. Now, by that I mean a major breakup. But any kind of a breakup involving more than Greece is likely to cause additional problems, and markets are very nervous while all this is going on, and that's hardly surprising. So we have the contagion fears stemming from that, and also as far as the growth economies are concerned, well, they're also affected by contagion fears, and they have not been easing monetary policy for long enough or significantly enough, or haven't even begun to start in some instances, such as India, to slow the decline in GDP growth that's seen in that region. So really, you've got a very nervous situation, and the consolation in that for those who have cash is that valuations are improving all the while. And we also know that monetary conditions in the developed economies are going to remain accommodative, and that they will become move from restrictive to more accommodative in the growth economies. But this is still a tough environment overall, and a lot of people are conceding that or assuming at this stage that 2012 could be a soft year in the first half. Now, any kind of consensus, if you get a strong consensus on that, it'll probably be wrong. But let's put it this way, we still have most of these stock markets in overall downward trends. We are still giving up ground from that late November, early December rally that we saw. The S&P is probably the most important market gauge there in terms of overall sentiment. I mentioned to you that it's at 1205 on tonight's close. Now, that March low, I beg your pardon, that November low, the November low for the S&P was just below the 1160 level. So we're continuing to drift back down towards that, and we can pretty well be certain that breaches of those late November lows by a number of stock markets, and not least the U.S. indices, would make sentiment even a bit more bearish in the short term. So markets, stock markets, bottom line, stock markets are still very much on the offensive, on the defensive. Stock markets are very much on the defensive. And the standouts in terms of relative strength are the autonomies and the dividend aristocrats. Some of those are going to come under pressure, for sure, if we see continued weakness and breaches of the late November lows for equities. So a tricky period here overall. Against that background, we can expect government bond prices to remain really quite firm. That means yields stay low. In terms of currencies, when sentiment is so cautious as we see today, that puts a rising floor under the U.S. dollar, and that's exactly what we see here today. Now, we also know that when animal spirits return and stock markets stage a decent rally, that the dollar tends to slide back quite rapidly. But that's not what's happening at the moment. These stock markets are retreating, and the dollar is firm, and the bonds are also firm. Now, precious metals, They caught the contagion selling earlier in the month, and they still look vulnerable to further weakness. Gold has broken beneath its rising 200-day moving average. It did that in September, but it was, I think, pretty much on an intraday basis, and then it bounced very strongly off the MA. This time it's come down, it's broken the MA, and it's hovered slightly below that level where it is today. And you've got overhang, and I've mentioned that sentiment deteriorated rapidly enough when gold came down, really to, I think, leave some. That will surprise a lot of people, which means there's going to be supply overhead. There will be people who would be happy to sell into a rally. As I was mentioning last week, were gold to rally $50 to $100 from current levels. So, bottom line here, it is an environment where we are still seeing deleveraging. We're still seeing, therefore, downward pressure on most commodities, downward pressure on most stock markets, and we're just going to have to wait until this plays out. When that's going to be, I'm not going to hazard the guess, but it's hard to see a major catalyst here in the short term that will alleviate the situation. But again, silver lining department, valuations are improving and monetary policy will become more accommodative. But we'll have to wait before that kicks in and turns this around. So, on that not terribly cheerful note, all the best.